This is Matt Wells at UN News. More than 10,000 children were killed or maimed due to conflict last year, the UN said on Wednesday, including shocking examples of girls being used as human bombs by Boko Haram terrorists and attacks on schools and hospitals. The 21,000 verified cases of grave violations against children reported in 2017 marked an increase over the previous year, according to the latest UN Secretary General's annual report on children and armed conflict. Virginia Gamba, the special representative of the Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflict, presented the report's findings at UN headquarters in New York and spoke to Fatima E. Mendez.
This year's report shows that there has been 21,000 violations that were verified against children in 20 situations of armed conflict around the world. And it is an increase from the previous year's amount of violations. So clearly violations are on the rise. Of these violations, we also have been able to draw attention on the types of violations that we've seen happening. We have more than 8,000 cases of recruitment and use, 10,000 cases of killing and maiming, 900 cases of rape and other forms of sexual violence, 1,100 cases of attacks on schools and hospitals, and 2,500 cases of abduction. We also noted almost 1,500 cases of denial of humanitarian access. Now, I think what we're seeing this year is that, again, for the second consecutive year, as relates to the trends in the report, we're seeing that about one-third of these violations are committed by government, state, or coalition forces. But two-thirds, over 15,000 of these violations, are committed by armed groups. And more than half of those are committed by groups that operate across borders, such as, for example, ISIL.
Can you share with us some specific cases of improvements or setbacks?
The more worrisome violations that we're seeing an increase of, which in effect is a setback, that will be killing and maiming, attacks on schools and hospitals, and recruitment and use. Another setback is in some specific cases, like in the case of the use of an abuse of children by Boko Haram, we have seen a doubling, even tripling of the use of young girls as human bombs to attack their own villagers. And these are not suicide bombers because they are not committed. They're just put in a vest and released, and they don't know what they're carrying. And they go straight home and they're blown up together with their families and the village. So clearly this is a despicable act of using the innocence of children to commit horrible violence. On the other hand, I can say that despite the rise in violations, we have seen definite progress in those cases where we have succeeded in improving the engagement with the parties, training them, convincing them to stop the violation and to start putting in place measures to reduce this possibility of children suffering these types of violations. And I'm very happy to say that the government of Sudan has been delisted. Also, the FARC EP in Colombia has been delisted. In both cases, recruitment and use stopped, and we verified that it had stopped, and therefore we were able to engage. We also saw a significant drop in attacks on schools and hospitals in the Yemen by the coalition forces, because we've been engaging with them on measures that can improve their targeting to differentiate between civilian targets and military targets. And one of the first successes, let's say, is the reduction in attacks on schools and hospitals verified on the ground. So these are all good things. Perhaps the biggest measure that I am happiest of is that we succeeded in convincing armed groups and governments to release children that had been recruited, either voluntarily or forcibly, into their ranks. And last year, we managed to get 10,000 kids released. When you contrast that with the 8,000 kids recruited last year, if we can keep this trend up, where we always have less kids recruited per year, and we try to double those released, it's only a matter of time before we can get to a zero growth and all release. So we're excited about that trend, and we're hoping that that trend will continue to double in relationship to releases versus recruitment.
You had discussed, you had mentioned that there was an increase in violations from 2016 to 2017. To what do you attribute that increase?
I think it's the nature of conflict. Last year was a horrific year for conflict. There are a lot of new conflicts. There are also a lot of pushes. What we notice is trends in relationship to conflict are not static across the 12th month of the year. We do see increases of fighting around critical moments. Sometimes there is a push either by a coalition or a government or by an armed group to cover or recover a specific strategic place or site. And in the pursuit of that military operation, many times the preventative measures to divide civilians from military are often ignored. And what we saw last year was horrendous pushes and pulls in several key conflicts, like in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in the Syrian Arab Republic, in Yemen, where you can literally see the conflict evolving. The other thing that we think has really impacted the figures last year was an ongoing, very worrisome trend in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where particularly in the regions of the Kasai, two new armed groups emerged. And these armed groups are constituted mostly by minors. And they use and abuse other minors. And as you try to control that situation, you do, go against minors one way or the other. So that was horrendous, and the amount of schools and hospitals that were burned, that were destroyed, was over 1,000 in just that one region. Another one very interesting, for example, in the case of Somalia, Al-Shabaab, in just 1 month of last year, there was over 1,500 cases of abduction. That's more than sometimes the yearly average globally. So I think it's the nature of the conflict, the heated nature of the conflict, and the cross-border nature of the conflict that we're seeing in long protected warfare in strategic areas that, to my mind, show the rise in these figures.
Last year's report caused some controversy due to the addition of the coalition operating in Yemen led by Saudi Arabia. They are also included in this year's report. Can you please tell us more about your findings in regards to the coalition, and what step is the coalition taking to address the situation?
Yes, indeed. Last year, the coalition was listed for two violations, which was attacks on schools and hospitals as one violation, and the other one was killing and maiming of children in the pursuit of their operations. Since that listing of last year, we have been working very hard with the coalition. The coalition's headquarters are in Saudi Arabia, so we have been in touch with the coalition forces, which are a multinational group. And they have taken the measures that we recommended late in the year. Last year, around December, these measures were starting to be put in place. So they're very fresh measures, but some of these have really come to fruition very quickly. Like, we've seen a dramatic drop in the targeting of schools and hospitals, and we have continued monitoring even this year, and the drop is even more dramatic, so it's a positive trend. What measures they put in place? They put in place several. The first one is that they took our advice and they created the child protection unit within the coalition headquarters so that they could advise the force commanders, particularly on targeting and on the division between civilians and combatants. Now, this force is new, it has to be trained, and all the working plans must start to roll. It's already operative, but we are continuing to train them to improve their efficiency. Other measures is that they actually developed a standard operating procedure for the release and handover of children that they capture so that they can be reintegrated into society in the correct mode and respecting their rights. We are working with them to refine these documents. They have put together a commission of inquiry to look at those cases where children have been affected by violence. And this one is a commission of inquiry that they themselves are holding, and we have met with them and look at the procedures of work to see about attribution. The one area where we still need to work more is in refinement of the rules of engagement that are military rules of engagement of the coalition, which is particularly important in relationship to killing and maiming of children or children casualties or avoiding children casualties. As a result of all of this, I think the measures are beginning to work, and the Secretary General thought that the reduction in the attacks on schools and hospitals was such that they merited delisting as a coalition from that. So they were delisting on that one violation. But the Secretary General also felt that there has not been enough progress to justify the listing on killing and maiming. On the contrary, the coalition continues to be listed for killing and maiming of children.
What are some of the recommendations outlined in this year's report? What steps can countries take or groups to address the safety and well-being of children in armed conflict?
I think there really is a lot of things that the governments and non-governmental armed groups can actually do. First of all, they have to understand that this is a problem, that no child deserves to be treated this way. So we do a lot of public awareness so that we reach even the farthest corners of the bush with the message, it's wrong, you cannot recruit and use children, you cannot do it, it's a war crime, you know, you cannot do it. So one, you have to reach out and explain why even sometimes cultural practices are wrong in relationship to the international community. You have to go out of your way to explain that for us, the United Nations, a minor is under 18 and not under 15. So largely as a result of this type of advocacy and public awareness that we undertake in my office together with our partners, more and more armed groups and governments then cannot say that they did not know. So once they realize, they have two choices. Ignore the problem, and then they can be assured that we're going to monitor, report, and list, because it will happen. Or they can choose to prevent the violation early. And to do that, it's easy. For government forces and for governments, the measures to be put in place include age screening capacity so that you don't recruit children unknowingly, because most of the kids in the countries that we work with don't have birth registers. So just by putting age screening in army camps and police, they can turn out those kids that are trying to voluntarily apply to recruit. Also, to totally deter from forcible recruitment of children, because they will be caught and they can stop that just with a simple command order. Other things that they can do, they can undertake a serious revision of the child law in the country. So that, and many of the actors we work with, we give the advice that by improving the child law, the one that regulates the violations against children in that country, they are able to do prevention. So if a government person undertakes one of the six violations we monitor, we want to see that person prosecuted because he was acting out of place and outside of order. And for that, the law must be very clear that this is a no-go and violators will be prosecuted. So we keep a sharp lookout there. So they can do a lot on the judicial system. They can do a lot to improve detention facilities, creation of juvenile trials and tribunals rather than adults. And they can do a lot by improving the collaboration that they have with a handover and release of children to the right agencies such as UNICEF. So if they put in place just those very simple things, I mean, they look complex, but it's just a question of political will, chances are they're going to be able to catch at least 60-70% of the problem early and react to it early as well. And there are other issues that we strongly recommend, hotlines to be established in the government, and this applies to both armed groups and the government, where people and villagers can report any abuses they see of children in a situation of armed conflict. Armed groups themselves, they should understand that they cannot mine as part of their operations, because then they walk away and who finds the mines is the children. They cannot just move around like armed groups do, leaving unsecured ammunition in stocks that they abandon, because children will go and play with them. They will be killed and maimed, and their responsibility will be given to the armed group that control that area, and they will be listed. And it's not in their interest to be listed, because eventually, someday, this could open them for prosecution in the future. So I think there's a lot of measures that can be applied. But the most important of all is do not recruit children and do not accept children that voluntarily try to join an armed group or a government. And if you do have those children or you capture children in the course of your activities, release them immediately to the correct agency to be in charge of their integration. That thing happens, it's much easier to have standard operating procedures, orders. You can train your group, armed group, or you can train your government force on the best way to avoid violations against children as you engage. So I do believe it's political will, information, and we are ready to assist anyone for preventive purposes or protection purposes that asks the help of the UN to put in place these measures.